It's great to see a bunch of excited people. They were probably Baptists. All right. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We finished the first part of Ephesians chapter 1 through 3. Remember how Paul writes his books. The first part is doctrine. The second part's duty. The first part is belief, and the second part is behavior. So we're going to look at the first six verses of Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. And then we'll observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. John MacArthur divides this into three parts: the call of the worthy walk, verse 1, the characteristics of the worthy walk, verses 2 and 3, and the causes of the worthy walk, verses 4 and 6. Now, John's good, but I'm going to do my own thing here in a minute. But we have to understand the point that Paul's getting across. This little boy is learning how to ride a bicycle. So he starts off and he falls down and he skins his knee and he starts to cry, and his father yells at him and says, "You're a big boy, act like it." Okay? This 18-year-old guy is tired of his father telling him what to do, so what does he do? He joins the Marines. And the way it works, guys are tired of their father telling them what to do. They join the military. Girls are tired of their parents telling them what to do. So what do? They run off and get married. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So this 18-year-old young man's in basic training at Paris Island with the Marines. And one of the last things they have to do is crawl under barbed wire with live machine gun ammunition shooting over their heads. And he gets so scared. How scared was he? Only his laundry knows. But he freezes, and he can't move. And his drill instructor doesn't get in the way of the bullets, but he gets over there and he says, "You're a Marine. Act like it." I can just hear it. Well, this is what Paul is saying, chapter 4, verse 1. You're a Christian. Act like it. Look at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. People say, "Don't talk to me about doctrine. I just want to live for Jesus." And I call those people ignoramuses. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you live right. Wow! Those people are just ignorant of the way the Holy Spirit works. What you believe determines how you behave. And so Paul has talked about, what are we supposed to believe now? How are we supposed to behave? The better we understand Bible doctrine, the easier it is to obey Bible duties. Let me say that again. The better we understand Bible doctrine, the easier it is to obey Bible duties. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Therefore, what's the therefore? All right, because of what Paul's just told us. We are the body of Christ. We're a spiritual temple. The church is made up of Gentiles and Jews put together to show Jesus to the world. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. It's interesting to look at the worthy part. It's interesting to look at the walk part. Paul was a prisoner for Christ, but he was the prisoner of Christ. I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, because he volunteered, he wanted to be. And walk isn't walking. Walk is a Hebrew idiom for how you live your life. It's everyday living. It's everyday conduct. Romans 6 says, we are raised to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Ephesians 4:1, we read. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ has loved us. Ephesians 5:15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, for the day is evil. Walking is how we live our life. And we live our life by following our duty as Christians. Enoch, Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for God took him. Man that walked with God so close he didn't die. God just took him straight to heaven, like he did Elijah. There was a young man on the street passing out tracts, and I love tracts. In fact, you might want to look at the tracts we have in the back in our lobby. The chick tracts, little comic book tracts. A lot of people have been reached with those little comic books. A person came up that couldn't read, and this man was handing out tracts. And he says, "What's that?" He said, "Well, that's a tract." He said, "Well, I can't read, but as you walk around, I'll watch your tracts." There are a lot of people that would never take a tract, but there are a lot of people looking at our tracts. And that's what Paul says. If you claim you're a Christian, act like it. Verse 1, the begging of Paul. Verse 2, the behavior of Christians. Look at verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3. With all meekness and lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 1 says, I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you, I strongly encourage you, I beg you to walk worthy. But he defines worthy. Worthy is these things in verse 2. Someone asked Mahatma Gandhi, what is the greatest hindrance to Christianity in India? And Gandhi said, Christians. What is the greatest hindrance to Christianity in India? Answer, Christians. He read the New Testament. Gandhi said one time, if Christians lived what I read in the New Testament, I would become a Christian. But he never did. John Trapp said, we are the king's children and should carry ourselves accordingly. The four characteristics of worthy. How do we measure worthy? Worthy. Are we worthy? Well, the first one's humility. Look at it. With all lowliness, humility. Micah 6:8, he has showed you, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. James says, humble yourselves before God and he will lift you up. Humility. Humility is something that if you think you've got it, you've lost it. Okay, but humility, everything we have comes from God. Every good thing, every blessing, everything we have comes from God. We don't have a reason to be proud of it. God has helped us do it all. Humility, the first one is humility. The second one is meekness. Prautetos in Greek. This is not weakness. We think of meek people being pushovers, letting themselves be walked on. This is not the concept in the Bible. Meekness, the word meekness is used in classical Greek to describe a big, strong, fiery warhorse that's under the control of the bridle. The definition of meekness is strength under control. In Numbers, it says Moses was the meekest of all men. Moses was not a pushover. Moses was a leader. Moses was someone who was strong. He was determined. Meekness is not weakness. The average person thinks that Christians are just a pushover. Christians won't stand up for themselves. They're supposed to turn the other cheek. And I've explained to you what that really means. That's why they shoot up churches, guys, because Christians are weak. Christians are timid. Christians are cowards. And if you really want to kill a bunch of people, come into a church and start shooting because you're safe there. Except in our church. That's right. We shoot. The church that shoots back. We should run an ad in the paper, shouldn't we? Okay. You know. You can't be a Melvin Milquetoast and stand against evil. It says, test all things. Stand for that which is good. And you can't stand if you're weak. Meekness, strength under control. Totally misconceived in the world today. Patience, to endure without fighting back. The Bible calls it long-suffering. John Chrysostom, the great bishop of Ephesus, said, the spirit which has the power to take revenge but does not. Wow. Patience, the ability to keep your motor idling when you feel like stripping the gears. Okay? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Eileen hears about some of the things that go on at Polk State, and she says, how do you stay patient? Well, I'm not a very patient person sometimes, guys. But sometimes it's the best thing to do. Don't you get tired of biting your lip sometimes? Don't you get tired of turning the other cheek? Yeah, we do. But sometimes we do it. All right. And then the last one is love. A new commandment, John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you that you love one another. Jack Taylor defined love as that self-giving quality in one person that seeks the highest good in another person regardless of the cost. We seek to help other people, the self-giving quality in one person that seeks the highest good in another person regardless of the cost. Let us love one another. Before Jesus, we loved things and used people. After Jesus, we love people and use things. It's a big difference. So, you have the begging of Paul, I beseech you that you walk worthy of your calling. We have the behavior of Christians. And then we have the basis of unity, verses 4 through 6. Let's look at that. Verses 4 through 6. Therefore, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. The basis of unity. One of the devastating diseases of our generation is muscular dystrophy. Person with MD has all the right parts and equipment available, brain cells, neurons, axons, dendrites, muscles, but they don't work properly. The problem is not in the brain. The brain sends the appropriate signals. The problem lies within the nerve and the muscle. The nerve conveys the brain's message, such as move, turn, lift, but the muscles do not respond. The body is essentially unresponsive to the brain's commands. And that's what Paul is talking about here. The church has to be responsive to what God wants us to be. Jesus is the head of the church. What does he want us to do? And we need to be responsive. The basis of unity. Dwight L. Moody said one time, Satan divides, God unites, and love binds us together. There are seven spiritual realities in the Church of Jesus Christ. One body. It's the model for all local churches. The universal church is one body in Christ. Romans 12 talks about that. Even as a body has many members, and each member has a different function, so also is the body of Christ. And so we have different spiritual gifts, we have different personalities, we have different destinies in God's will, but yet God put us together in one body. Francis Schaeffer, the great Presbyterian theologian, wrote, "We cannot expect the world to believe the Father sent the Son, that Jesus' claims are true, that Christianity is true, unless the world sees some reality of the oneness of true Christians." One body, one spirit, the Holy Spirit living inside us, the Holy Spirit giving us the power to live the Christian life, the Holy Spirit giving us the power to serve God and serve other people. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. One hope. What's the hope? Jesus is going to come back one day. Anything that's wrong, Jesus is going to set right. Jesus returned to take the church out of the earth and to heaven. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. One hope, one Lord, Romans 14:9, for this cause Jesus died and is rose again, that he might be Lord of all. The word Lord means boss. Basically, it was a title of respect. You called someone Lord, you called someone boss, you called someone master. Jesus is Lord. We sing that little chorus. Jesus is Lord of all, and he is. One faith. Jude chapter 3. The faith once delivered to the saints, Jude says. What is the faith? What are the fundamentals? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice that died on the cross in our place. Jesus rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and he is literally going to come back again. Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascended into heaven. And everybody was standing around looking up where he went. And two angels appeared and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing in the heavens? This same Jesus whom you saw go shall so come again in like manner." How did he go? He went literally. How is he going to come back? Literally. How did he go? He went physically. How is he going to come back? Physically. Jesus will come back. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ." 1 Corinthians 12:13. One God and Father of us all. That's the Jewish Shema, the Jewish confession of faith, Deuteronomy 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Monotheism, there is one God. And within the Godhead, there is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. 1 Timothy 2:5, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus is the only way to God. Luke 10:27, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Seven spiritual realities of the church. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. The begging of Paul, "Walk worthy of your calling." The behavior of Christians, humility, meekness, patience, and love, and the basis of unity. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. That's what he's trying to get across. Diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, Christians are people who are drawn together because they owe a common debt to the goodness and grace of God. So that's what we have in common. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." And Jesus is always knocking on the doors of people's hearts. If he's been knocking on the door of your heart, and you haven't opened the door and let him in yet, you can do that while we sing our invitation hymn. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Ask him to come into your heart, to give you eternal life, to give you peace and forgive your sins. And if you ask him, he'll do it, because he is a faithful Savior. We're going to sing hymn number 447. Betty's going to come to the organ. Number 447, the basis of Ephesians. What's the basis of the Christian life? Trust and obey. Number 447. Let's stand together.